finishing up that great chapter, that Hall of Fame, Faith Hall of Fame. Thank you, Brian and Kayla. Hebrews chapter 11, we'll be looking at verses 32 through 40, as you can see on our screen. Title of our message today is Dynamic Certainty. Dynamic Certainty. And so if we have our words of God, I hope that we have our word with us today and that we always should. If you don't, there's a Bible in the pew in front of you. There should be a pew Bible. If you have it on your phone, I'm okay. Electronically, whatever way that you can have the word of God open. I was challenging our Sunday school class today. We should be like the Bereans. You said, what did the Bereans in Acts? It said that they studied the scriptures to make sure that Paul was teaching them the truth. And that's how we should be as God's people. You make sure that the man of God that's standing behind this pulpit is teaching and preaching you, thus says the word of God. You don't need his opinions. You don't need an agenda, but you need the word of God. And so as we have his word, let's stand on our feet and honor it. We'll be looking at Hebrews chapter 11. And starting in verse 32, the word of God says this, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword. Out of the weakness they were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and of scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, they were tempted, they were slain with the sword, they wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens, and in caves of the earth, and in all these have obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. I pray, God, thank you for those that have come out, that you'll touch our hearts through the preaching of your word. May it go forth and transform lives for your glory. In Christ's name, and all God's people said, you may be seated. I tell you, it's hard not to read that about our brothers and sisters and not make you emotional. Why? This is our brothers and sisters of the faith. This is the ones that came before us. These are the ones that served the Lord. And look what they endured and the things. I love that statement. Of whom the world is not worthy of. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. I love as we're finishing up this great chapter and we're thinking about, yes, the Hall of Fame. And as he's bringing it to a conclusion, that how the very first verse, that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That the rest of the verse is just a commentary of this is what that looks like. These are the examples. These are the ones that have lived that way. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So it has a future aspect in that the things that God has promised, listen, please understand, in a world that says there's no truth or that it's relative, this is forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy word is truth. Truth in a world that's looking and searching for truth and trying to find answers, we find it in God's Word. So the future aspects, the hope, the evidence of things not seen, the future aspect is that the promises of God will come to pass just as if we are sitting here this morning. And also, it's also not just a future aspect, but a visual aspect in that evidence of things not seen. Listen to me. I have never seen Jesus Christ with my visible eyes. I've never seen him with my physical eyes, but I have seen him many times on your face. I saw him this week save one of my brothers. I've seen him work time and time again. I've seen him transform an old redneck that was headed to hell and going to heaven now because of what his gospel has done in my life. I've seen him give me purpose. And plan, he gave me a plan and purpose. He gives me fulfillment. And he does all of us that have received him as personal Savior. Hey, is it all right if I just get tore up today? Hey, we missed last Sunday, so I got to get two in one. Is that all right? When it gets good, you can't help it. When you find yourself in, when you're looking for purpose in life, and you're searching and groping, and then when you hear these words and you find yourself and you find your heritage, he can't help but get emotional and thinking about what God has done and what God is going to do. I'm going to tell you, you turn on your news, as I said before, it looks like that we've lost sometimes. Let's be honest. It's like, what in the world, God? Why are you waiting? That evil is called good and good is called evil. We live in a neo-pagan country now. That's the country you live in that accepts anything and everything in the name of Christ. And yet, I want you to know by the promises of God's word that the gates of hell shall not prevail against his church. How do I know that? Because he said it and promised it. It has nothing to do, I told a good friend. Sometimes we wonder, and whenever we receive the gospel or whenever we come to church even, sometimes we're looking for a mystical experience. And for me, I was such a heathen, okay, that whenever I came to know Christ, it was like everything changed, okay? It's because of where and what I was saved out of. But for some people, it's a process. And they get saved and they don't, oh, it's not a, oh, that's what we're looking for. And we come here looking for that, if we're honest. We come here looking for a mystical experience. When I want you to know something, the promises of God's word is so much better than a feeling or something mystical. The promises of God's word is something you can hold on to when the storms come, and they will come. I'm not going to sit here and preach to you, oh, just your best life now. Oh, that sounds so good, don't it? But the truth of the matter is we're going to see that our heritage is struggles and death and all those things. And as we get into this, I want us to think about the dynamic certainty. It took dynamic certainty for these individuals that you're going to see through triumphs and through trials. It takes a belief. I am as certain as if I'm standing here right now that Christ is going to return one day. I am as certain as I'm standing here right now that he died on a cross for my sin and for your sin, that he just didn't die, but they planted him in the ground, and the third day he arose. I am as dynamic and certain of that as anything in my life. Why and how can you be? Are you crazy, Pastor Dave? No, because it transformed my life. It transforms you, and it makes us who we are. And so when we see this and we read this great chapter, why is he writing this to them? Why is the author using this faith chapter? What's he trying to do, and what is he trying to do for us? These are good questions to ask. 2019, almost the first month gone. How can this word apply to our lives today? What's the author trying to tell them? Listen, Nero is coming. He's right after the writing of this. Nero would try to rid the world of Christianity. He would kill them. He would have them killed in the arenas just for fun. He would dip them in tar, light them afire, and light his courtyard. That's your brothers and sisters in Christ that he did that to. Persecution is coming. It's for them, and it is coming for you. Do you understand that? It's coming. You live in a neo-pagan culture and country that is no longer looks at Christianity as something to smile about, but something to deride, something to hate, intolerance. Have you ever noticed the thing about intolerance? The only thing it won't tolerate is intolerance. Think about that, please. What an oxymoron. The only thing that intolerance will not tolerate is intolerance. Can you not see circular reasoning in that? You live in that world today that if you stand on the truth of God's word, you're looked upon as biased and bigot and hater of human beings, when the truth, we should never hate anybody. Do you understand? That's not Christianity. Hey, it is just not Christian, but I want you to know the Lord Jesus Christ was intolerant of a lot of things while he walked this earth. And yet he loved everyone. thing that we struggle with as Christians is we struggle with that understanding to hate the sin, but to love the sinner and to love everybody and to reach out in Jesus' name. Why? He is coming back. And so when we get into this dynamic certainty, I want us to look at faith and feel this encouragement today. Please be encouraged by these scriptures. Be encouraged by those that have went before us. Why? It is our time. It is our time to run the race. It is our time to stand in the midst of adversity. It is our time to stand upon the principles of God's Word when we are in a minority. Okay? It's our time. Be encouraged by that today. Faith and triumph is what I want us to look at to begin with. Look at verses 32 through 35. And what more, could the author says, can I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith abused kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the violence of the fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned into flight armies of aliens, and women received their dead, raised from life again. You can say, amen! What triumph that we see through faith here. Half a dozen winners that we would list as winners, right? Why? Well, they triumph. Look what it is. Think about Gideon. He was the original 300, by the way. Why is that? He started off with an army of over 32,000 Israelites against the Midianites. And what did God do? Say, that's too many. Carve it down. It got down to 300 men and defeated the entire army of the Midianites. And he's saying, think of Gideon. What about Barak? Barak's going up against Sisera, which had 900 chariots of iron. God used him to defeat Sisera and his great army. Samson, and we don't usually think of Samson as a man of faith, and yet here he is listed here. And think about what he did. He conquered the Philistines. This man took a jawbone of a donkey and killed 1,000 Philistines himself. Now look in this room. There's probably about 100 of us here. Think about 10 times as many that went up against one man, and he takes a jawbone of a donkey and slays them. That's God. And he's saying, remember Samson, Jephthah, he was an outcast. He was born. Now his family didn't want anything to do with it. He becomes strong. The enemies raise up. And God, you know what he does? They call him back to conquer the enemies of God. David, the great giant slayer that stood as a young boy as the rest of them are tired in a corner. It says the battle belongs to the Lord. He said, I'm not fighting. I'm not coming out here with armor or what I have, but I'm coming in the name of the Lord, the God of Israel that you are talking down against. And what did he do? God gives him the giant. He becomes a man after God's own heart. And then Samson, we studied Wednesday night about Hannah and little Samson and how she dedicates him back to the Lord at 3 years old. And he lives with the Lord in the Lord's house all his life. And he becomes this great prophet and a great last judge that God used to crown kings. Samuel. And each of these lived in a time when faith was scarce. And they stood in a minority position, but they stood against the world. They had dynamic certainty in what God could do. But I want you to please understand this. Each one of them was flawed. Draw a strip from that today. These are not perfect individuals that we're mentioning here. Each one of them. And I like that about the Scripture. See, if this was a man-made book and you were writing it just trying to please men, you would leave out all the bad parts now, wouldn't you? That's just how we do. We don't want our bad things. We don't want to talk about them. Let's just talk about our triumph. These men, what did they do? They fell. Samson fell to lust. David fell to lust. Gideon, man, he made an ephod and they worshipped him. I mean, you got all these things that you can find the flaws. God is not looking for perfect people this morning to use. He's looking for people that will trust in His perfection to make a difference in a world that desperately needs to see faith lived out with a certainty, a dynamic certainty. Look what they triumph through, what? Mouth of lions. We think about Daniel there, I mean, and there's others. Violence of fire, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. I mean, they escaped the edge of the sword, won battles, and overcame enemies. Man, these were winners. They had faith in triumph. In other words, they just believed that God could take 300 men and defeat an army. And they said it looked like the sand of the seashore. How many is that, guys? You can't count them. But they believed that God could do that because they believed that the God they served was bigger than the obstacles they faced. That's part of our problem here, okay? Do you believe that God, whatever obstacle you're facing today or this morning, that God's bigger than that? Do you believe in God's divine providence that you're just here by coincidence this morning? Don't miss God's providence as He works and brings us together. And then he reminds of women receiving their children. That's back in the Old Testament. We have several, widow of Nain, all that they raised up Elijah and Elijah. Both raised up these sons to these women. And so it's talking about them receiving them back from the dead. God delights in delivering His people. Did you hear me? God delights. Think about Moses and Noah, the examples in chapter 11. And Moses, how he flees to the desert. He can't speak. I can't do it, Lord. You're right, Moses, you can't, but God can. And what did he do? He led the whole children of Israel out of Egypt. Went through the Red Sea. Noah. God grieved in his heart that he had made man. One of the saddest verses. He grieved that he'd ever made man because every inclination of his heart was deceitfully wicked. Yet he says Noah found favor. It's almost like, there's a light. That little glimmer of light in the midst of darkness. And what happens? He saves him through the flood. He worked for 120 years though, to build that ark, didn't he? God saves him because of his righteousness. Noah, Joshua, that man, hey, that Moses raises up, that young boy that hung out with Moses all the time and Moses was leading, raising up that in the tent of God when God would come down to meet with Moses. It said that when Moses left, Joshua just stayed in the tent with the Lord. And God was preparing him for what? For the great conquering of the promised land one day. Rahab, as we learn, the harlot. How do you go from a house of shame to the hall of fame with God? He can do it with anybody. And here they are listed. This is the ones that we can look back to and draw strength. God can deliver you from anything at any time, any sickness, any situation, if He chooses. That's faith and triumph. Because, wait a minute, faith and trials. See, we're all right that first time. Listen to the second one. Faith and trials. Verse 35b, it said, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials of mockings and scourgings, yes, of chains and imprisonments. They were stoned, they were sawed in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in caves, dens and caves of the earth. So not only is their faith in the triumph, but their faith in the trials. Look what he says here. God can do anything he wants to, and when he chooses to do it, sometimes he chooses not to. Do you understand that this morning? But he's still God, and he's still in control. He can do whatever he chooses at home, at work, at school, whatever, wherever you are, if he chooses. And the next verse will prove sometimes that he doesn't. Why? When we look at this next group, the world would say this. Now, they was winners in that last one. Maybe these are the losers. There's no losers when you're on God's side. But they would think losing. What does it say? When you hear this, torture, mocking, scourging, chains, imprisonment, stone, sawed in two, slain by the sword, wandering in sheepskin, goatskins, destitute, afflicted, tormented. Who wants to sign up for that list? Ooh, I want to be on that one. None of us, do we? Look at verse 35b. Don't miss this. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. As I read that, I thought, better resurrection? What's it talking about there? There's nothing better than a resurrection. You got to go back to the first of that chapter, of that verse in 35, what it says. What's a better resurrection? Look at the context. Women received their dead raised to life again. See, the better resurrection is not being raised back into this life again, but being resurrected into eternal life to be with Christ forever and ever. They said, that's the life I want. Don't bring me back to this place. Let me go on to be with Jesus, the better resurrection. And when they got their eyes and focus on what was eternal, they forgot about the temporal, and it became their focus. And he said, that they were raised a better resurrection. And praise God, one of these days, I want you to understand, I'm going to get up out of the ground. Why? Because of what Jesus has done for me. I'll be resurrected into when my body and my spirit, one of these days, I'm going to die. Kids, get ready. I'm going to die. But let me tell you, when I'm laying down here in front, woo! Don't you celebrate. Because I'm at home with my Savior. And bless God, I want you to be too. There's only one way, and that's through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, that we can get there. And when I'm laying here, you celebrating. Don't you brag on the man or the body attendant compass. You brag on Jesus. You brag on Him. Why? That's the only reason I've got anything worth saying about. Resurrected to a better resurrection. Through faith, God's children persevered through faith. That faith. They because of this dynamic certitude, in God's Word, they stood even to death. See, God called some people to stand to death for Him. Men, at the great heroes of the faith that we could name, have given their life. The reason we have some of these scriptures right here that we can hold and preach is because men gave their life so that you could have it. We take it for granted. We'll lay it down and we'll pick it up the next Sunday or Wednesday night. We'll even think about these men that have given their life so that you could have the Word of God. There's many that have went before us. And that dynamic certitude got them through to where they believed in the Word of God to the point that they stood even in the death, lost their life. They had faith unto death. How do I know that? Sawed in two, stoned, slain with a sword. Their faith didn't keep them from death. Their faith saw them through death. Can I get an amen? They persevered. Not only in death, but deprivation. Look what it says. They wandered about sheepskins, goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. They didn't listen. What we would look at them and say, what's their problem? In the days, they're homeless. They don't have anything. They lost everything, but they gained it all. Do you understand? This is our heritage. Because verse 38 said, of whom the world was not worthy. These are the great heroes. It's easy whenever the triumph, say, oh, yeah, that's a great man of faith, but what about when we see these things that are going on here, this second group in the trials? How much of us cheer then and say, wow, of whom the world was not worthy? Faith and triumph, faith and trials, but lastly, look at faith and time. Verse 39 and 40, this is where it brings it back to right us where we're sitting right here on this January 20th, 2019. Aren't you glad when God's Word does that? You don't have to say, well, it's outdated. People that believe that, they're antiquated. No, you can find yourself this morning. All these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise, God having provided them something better for us, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. He said, there's something better. They didn't receive that great promise. What's he talking about here? The results, he said, the results of their faith was that it pleased God because he said he commends them, though, does he not? All these have obtained, verse 39, those in triumph, those that conquered great armies, those that died with tortured, sawn in two, he said he commends them. They've obtained a good testimony through faith. There's no difference. We're the ones that make the difference. God commended them for their faith. Why? He doesn't forget one of them. He doesn't forget a one. He doesn't forget you, too. Sometimes you feel alone. You feel like he's never cared anything about you. That's a lie from the pit. How do I know he cared about you? He sent his son to die for you. He demonstrated his love for us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. When you choose to reject Him, you're walking right over the love and the spread arms of Jesus Christ. When you choose and you try to find some other way, you're rejecting the only thing that makes any logical sense. Right? And people say, well, I just can't figure it out right here. It's not something here. It's right there, okay? And the promises of God's Word, if you can't see the logic of it, why did He have to send Jesus Christ? Because we were full of sin. Romans told that we're born right into it. And because sin enters the picture, we needed a Savior. We were trying our best to reach up to God. You could never reach Him. God had to reach down to man by sending Jesus Christ, His Savior. He said, but none of these had received the promise. But think of the great promises that we saw of the names as listed. What did Abraham receive? Abraham received a son at 100 years old. A son that the lineage of Christ would come for. So praise God for Abraham's son. How about old Noah? Noah got an ark. He had 120 years to build an ark so he could be saved and his sons and their wives. And guess what? You better be thankful for old Noah and his ark because every one of us come from him, right? The lineage of Noah. What about Moses through the Red Sea? Moses was delivered right to the middle of the Red Sea because God, his God, was big enough to part. And the children of Israel were birthed forth and came into the promised land, and Jesus Christ one day would be born to that lineage of the Jews. Thank God. It wasn't just for the Jews, but for us old Gentiles as well. Praise the Lord. And so we see this triumph as we get it. But you know what? But none received the ultimate promise. Why do we know that? It says that the Messiah would come, and the reason, verse 40, something better for us together with us would be made perfect. You see, they looked for the Savior to come, and that's where their salvation was found. If you ask yourself, how were people saved in the Old Testament? It was in the Savior, the Messiah, to come. We believe and we're saved through the Messiah that has come, given His life, resurrected, and is coming again. Same salvation across the board. Their promise was in the future to come. Our promise has been in the past, but coming in the future. He's saying, hey, it's all together. And He waited for this so that the culmination of all this is, please hold on to your seats. Because it ain't streets of gold, and it ain't gates of pearl, and it ain't strumming around on some cloud playing a harp. It's Christ. The fulfillment of all is Christ. And that's what we're working towards. One day, when you're standing before Him, you ain't going to care, or before Him, you ain't going to care what you're standing on. You ain't going to care what everything around you looks like. You're going to look at Him, and you're going to worship Him. And guess what? You're even going to sing. And if you don't sing, you will one day. Whew, I might even sound good. Might not even lose my voice. Who knows? I don't know. All believers of all ages saved together. Perfect sacrifice of Christ. His perfection transferred to us. Think about it. Now, He's bringing it real and relevant to them Hebrews right here. And He's speaking. Why? Because He's saying, listen, this Savior that all these guys looked for, the ones in triumph, the ones in trial that they were looking for, He's come. And He's the one that this writer, he said, I'm proclaiming you this Christ that you've received now. He, guess what? He comes and the Holy Spirit came upon Him in the Old Testament. He dwells within us in the New Testament. Oh, how much more this certain dynamic certitude should we have when the Spirit dwells within us? You see, He's getting them ready and He's telling them. Not only that, but we have a high priest, it says, that we read earlier in Hebrews, that lives forever. He's went on to heaven. You see, when He raised from that grave, He spent a little time on earth, but He's sitting in the heaven, the Scripture says, and sits at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. I wonder what He's saying. Well, you know, when I mess up, you know what He said? The old devil says, hey, you call that your preacher now and there? Covered by the blood. Woo! Come on, get a hold of that. Covered by the blood, He forever lives to make intercession for us. How much more so? What's the point of this whole chapter that He's writing to them? What an advantage that they had. What an advantage that we have today. They didn't have it. We do. To whom much is given, much is required. Where are these great heroes today that stand up? On the faith. Where are those that we sit in the pews Sunday after Sunday that don't make a difference in our culture or our communities or our world?
Where are they? Who's going to fill their shoes? I ain't talking about the opera either. I'm talking about God's people to make a difference. Who's going to fill their shoes? We should exude a dynamic certainty that they never did. Why? Because we hold on. We have the promises of God right here that we can open at any time, that we can find the answers to life, that we can say, hey, oh, them kids I got, they didn't come with a manual. Wrong. Right here it is. My problems that I'm having with my husband and my wife, we're not getting along. How can we do? Where can we go? Right here's the answers. I don't understand, Dave. I don't know where I stand on this situation or that situation or the world tells us that I'm going to agree on it. How am I supposed to make my decisions? Here is the answer. It's the truth. Live by it. Stand upon it. Why? That's what makes a difference. That's what these brothers and sisters did that we've got a whole example of this morning. And guess what? It's your time to run. It's your time to stand. Why? Because our examples this morning lived under the old covenant that will find its ultimate fulfillment in the new covenant through the blood of Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior. You live in that time. You know what? They probably look and say, what are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? How? How is a country that was built upon the principles of God's Word by godly men, how has it become a neo-pagan country? Church's fault. Nobody else's. Because God's people just got fat and happy. Just got content. Oh, we can be content. But we never be satisfied. The world out here, when you walk out these doors, the biggest percent of the people that you come in contact don't know Jesus Christ, their Savior. That means that their end in eternity will be a place called hell that God never created for man, but the devil and his angels. But that's where people end up when they make that choice to go against the only truth that we have. And he's called us to let people know that. If we believe that, should we not be burning ourselves up, reaching out in Jesus' name? 2019, how many more will tick off before he returns or we go on to be with him? We need to have a dynamic certainty in the things of God. Applications, and we'll be done. Linda, come and play. Let's all stand to our feet. Do you have a dynamic certainty in the promises of God? First question. Do you have that dynamic certainty that whatever comes your way, I will stand on the promises of God? Do you have that? Number two, where do you need strengthened in your faith this morning? Where do you lack in your faith? Where is it? When's the last time you shared the gospel, shared the faith with anybody? Oh, preacher, that's your place. No, you better read again. Yes, I'm supposed to be doing it individually and also on Sunday morning, but it's also everybody's place as a child of God to be out shining the light. Noah found favor with God. Just shine the light. Number three, how will you live your faith out this week? What are you talking about? Aim at nothing, you'll hit it every time. How are you going to live your faith out this week? I'm going to step down here. Listen, there's somebody here lost today that knows. Here's what I asked the guy this week, good friend of mine. If you stood before the Lord Jesus Christ, which, by the way, if he required your life, everybody will be standing before him, and he asked you, and I said, would he say, enter in, my child, or would he say, depart from me, I never knew you? He thought about it for a minute. He said, he would say, depart. I said, well, that's lost. Why would you not receive him as your personal Savior? And he did! Praise God! And that becomes a child of God. You become eternal life. Why would you ever reject eternal life and a life of fulfillment? And here you say, is it an easy life? Well, we see that right there. I'm not preaching that. It could be lots of hardship. It could even mean death and sickness and all those things, but there's something that cannot change or be moved and And that's called Jesus Christ in your life. And he'll see you through every valley. He'll see you through all. To one day you're with him singing his praises. Why in the world would we ever dread that? Shut your eyes before the Lord. Is there somebody that needs Christ here this morning? He's waiting. Come unto him. Call unto him. All you who labor and are heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. Somebody here that needs Christ. Would you be willing to come forward and say, Lord Jesus, I need you. That which I've been longing and searching for, I need you. He's waiting. What about the rest of you, those questions? Do you have a dynamic certitude? Do you? Is your life marked where you're making a difference in the areas, your mission field? Where is my mission field? Wherever your school is, wherever your work is, wherever your feet are, that is your mission field. Are you making a difference for Christ? Do you have a dynamic certitude that no matter what comes your way, I'm going to stand for Christ? You need to come forward and say, you know what, Lord, from now on, right here, January 20th, 2019, I'm driving down Ebenezer right here. I want to be different. I want to act different. I want to show the world that I am Christ's children. Altar's open. How will you show your faith this week? You might be saying, I don't know how to do that. I want you to ask God. I want you to just ask God. Come forward and say, Lord, what would you have me do? Right now, I'm just saying, hey, Lord, I'm opening up my life to you. What do you want me to do? Did you show me and I'll do it? My answer will be yes. Who would do that? Who would do that? Others have come to pray. What about you? Don't leave here thinking, wish I would have done that. Lord's speaking. What's he saying to you? We're finishing up. I just want you to know something. Those of you that are lost, keep your heads bowed. Those of you that don't know Christ, you don't have to walk an aisle to be saved. Sure is a great indicator, though, when you're not ashamed. But you can be right there in your heart and say, you know, by God's word, by the preaching of God's word, I know that I'd hear him say, depart from me. I never knew you. And so right now, Father, I'm acknowledging that, and I'm asking you to just come into my life. I'm asking you to, I'm receiving you as my personal Savior. I'm asking you to forgive me of my sins. I'm turning to you. You know what the Scripture said? All those that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Not might be, shall be. It says, if I confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that God has raised him from the dead, it says, you shall be saved. It's what the Word says, not what a preacher says. You can pray that prayer right where you're at, and God will save you. Not an action walking down an aisle. It's a heart coming to know Christ as your personal Savior. Look here. No church tonight. Be careful going home, okay? You need something, man? What? Yeah. Pray right now. Father, we have been praying for Betty Ray a long time, Sarah's sister, and we know she's got the pancreatic cancer. She's in the last stages of that. We know if it's not for a touch by you, that she's going to go to be with you. And I pray to God, I'm asking you, if it's your plan, it's your will, you could still touch her. That's up to you, your choice. But Lord, whatever your will is, I pray you'll be with my sister. Give her a grace that we don't understand, a peace that passes all understanding. Be with Sarah. I know that she has had such a rough time seeing her sister waste away. Give her the strength that she needs. God, we pray this together, and we come together asking you to do this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, nothing more powerful you can do than pay for your brothers and sisters in Christ. But listen, stay home this evening. Don't get back out. It's supposed to keep dipping down, I think, at 8 degrees it's going to be. That's not the wind chill, by the way. It's going to keep on. And so everything's going to keep freezing and keep getting hard. Stay at home. Spend time with the Lord at home you can. But come back Wednesday. Well, hopefully the weather will be good. But be careful going home, please. I love you. Anything I do for you, Lee, closes in prayer. Let me know. Don't forget Secret Sister drawing up front.